Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been studying from the book of Mark. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 8. Jesus has just fed 4,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And using this miracle, Jesus takes the opportunity to warn his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Leaven is sometimes used as a symbol for sin. If you're not familiar with the word leaven, that's just another word for yeast. So sin, like yeast, can grow, can reach out its tentacles and get entangled into various places. And Jesus is warning his disciples about the effect of the teaching of the Pharisees, the effect of the leadership of Herod. They were to eat the food that Jesus was providing. He was the source of their nourishment, so to speak. They should eat the bread he provides. And to be on guard against the influence of people like the Pharisees and Herod. The disciples are confused as to why Jesus is teaching this. They think that Jesus is correcting them because they weren't prepared. They only had one loaf of bread, and there were 13 men. Jesus, once again, bears with them and tells them that it has nothing to do with their lack of preparedness. He said, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" 7. So he said to them, "How is it that you do not understand?" The thing that was standing in the disciples' way was a hardness of heart. And if we're not careful, we can make the same mistake. Sometimes we allow a hardness of heart to creep in, and that causes us to question the teachings of Jesus. It causes us to ignore the teachings of Jesus. It creates confusion as to what Jesus is really talking about. We all need to work on having a soft and receptive heart to the words of Jesus. And that's the way that we are able to receive and to truly understand what the Lord is teaching. Jesus says it would be no problem for him to take one loaf and turn it into enough food for 13 people. He's already fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, and he's fed 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread, and they had plenty of leftovers to take up afterwards. So his teaching has nothing to do with whether or not a person's appetite, physical appetite, is satisfied. His teaching has to do with the spiritual lessons that are important for all of us. That if we want to live, if we want to find spiritual nourishment, it's upon the teachings of Jesus that we must feast. We go on to find Jesus arriving in a town called Bethsaida. When he arrived, they brought a blind man to him, and they begged him just to touch the blind man. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Now, why did he lead him out of the town? Well, it's not apparent in Mark's account, but we know from other places that Bethsaida was one of the towns where Jesus performed some of his greatest miracles, and yet people did not believe. In fact, he pronounces woes upon them and says that it will be easier for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for towns like Bethsaida. I wonder if the skepticism and the unbelief in the town was once again hindering the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, that in order for Jesus to perform this miracle, he actually had to take this man out of town. He goes about the miracle in a very unusual way. He spits in the man's eyes and asks him, "What do you see?" And the man says, "I see men walking like trees." Trees are an important symbol in the Bible. Trees often represent human beings, men, especially men of great importance, great notoriety. You might remember in Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had a dream in which he saw a very large tree. And Daniel, when he interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, told Nebuchadnezzar that the tree represented the king. We have similar imagery in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah sees a vision with two olive trees, and those olive trees are representative of Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel. These were the two prominent men in Zechariah's day, the men who were responsible for leading the people and for rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem after it had been destroyed by the Babylonians. So trees often represent men, and here's just another reason why we can conclude that. Jesus heals the man partway, but then he completes it by putting his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And then he was restored and he saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." Again, another occasion where Jesus does not desire the testimony of men. And I just think that this probably goes back to what we talked about with Bethsaida earlier, that Bethsaida was a town which largely resisted the preaching of Jesus. He moves on to the town of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he takes the time to ask his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" What he's asking his disciples is, you're among the crowds, you're among the multitudes, you hear them talking to one another. Who do they say that I am? His disciples say, well, some believe that you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. That's what Herod believed earlier. You might remember that from the story of Herod and his wife Herodias and her daughter. Herod believed that Jesus was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some people concluded that Jesus was Elijah, and this stems from a prophecy in Malachi chapter 4, that Elijah would come before the day of the Lord. In the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us that the Elijah prophesied by Malachi was in fact John the Baptist, and this was a prophecy concerning John the Baptist's ministry. He would prepare the people for the arrival of Jesus. And his disciples say that people also believe that Jesus is just one of the prophets raised from the dead. Jesus then asks a crucial question. And in fact, this represents a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus. He looks at his disciples and he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Peter confesses at that moment that he believed Jesus is the Christ. In other accounts, Peter elaborates a little bit more. He says he's the Christ, the Son of God. You might remember that over in Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it." It's upon the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that the church is built. Peter is the first one to confess this, at least among the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. This is a pivotal moment because it's at this moment that Jesus begins to teach his disciples about what lies ahead. We know from the vantage point of hindsight that Jesus would die on the cross and be raised the third day. This is the core of the good news of Jesus Christ, the most important aspect to what we call the gospel. But at that point, the disciples did not clearly understand this. even though there were prophecies in the Old Testament that referred to a suffering Savior, passages like Psalm 22 or Isaiah chapter 53, even though those prophecies were embedded in the scriptures, they did not fully understand them. And they did not rightly understand that those passages applied to the Messiah, to a suffering Messiah. So Jesus begins to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Peter was disturbed by this. He takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Jesus' response is, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." This is where we begin to see the lack of understanding manifesting itself. The fact that the Messiah was supposed to suffer was something that Peter and his fellow disciples, they just didn't understand. And their ignorance was a potential stumbling block, a potential hindrance for Jesus. As we know later in the garden when Jesus is praying to his Father, he was sweating drops of blood because the pain and the anticipation was so intense. He was so stressed that his sweat was mingled with blood. Here we begin to get an inkling of how difficult this road would be. Peter's rebuke was not just simply a correction of Jesus, it was also a temptation for Jesus to listen and say, "You know what, you're right, Peter. I don't have to go through this." But the death and resurrection of Jesus is a foundational Christian doctrine. And from this, Jesus goes on to say, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. In order to be found, we must be lost." We must deny ourselves, lose our life, in order to follow after Jesus. If we live only for ourselves, for our desires, for our priorities, for our wants, we cannot follow after Jesus, because Jesus lives the life of self-denial. He gave of himself utterly until the end, and offered himself selflessly so that we could have the hope of eternal life. If we intend to follow after him, we need to adopt that same attitude. We need to be willing to do the will of our Heavenly Father and not our own will. We need to be willing to allow our old lives, our desires, what we want out of life to be nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. And if we are not willing to give these things up, then we are not worthy of him. So my friend, if you desire to follow after the Lord, then deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that faith in Jesus Christ saves our souls. God has always valued faith above all other things. From Noah to Abraham to Rahab to David, we see examples of God favoring people who believe in him. This is why God chose to save those who believe in his Son Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ but you're not sure what to do next, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.